Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijane go shabothya, nijane go shabothya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Ganawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
No hay tragedias, ahí nunca se puede perder. Hay un mundo diferente, más allá del que solemos ver. Es el mundo verdadero. verdadero es el mundo de tu único ser. Ese mundo está en tu mente, es el sitio al que perteneces. Ese mundo es la conciencia de nuestra unicidad en el ser. Verdadero ser, donde el mundo es diferente, donde nadie tiene que perder.
From Costa Rican singer-songwriter Johnny Schroeder, from his CD Soy Un Rayo de Luz, that beautiful song was entitled Un Mundo Diferente. I had the pleasure of getting to know Mr. Schroeder some years ago when the United Nations University for Peace in Costa Rica co-sponsored an event with the Indigenous Peoples Program of the Earth Charter, a conference on the environment and Indigenous Peoples' rights and sovereignty. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we focus on the very important issue of farm worker justice. We are very, very honored to have a staff representative from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, my friend Mr. Max Perez, and a volunteer supporter of CIW, Mr. Sean Sellers. The worldwide farm worker movement is a struggle for human rights and environmental social justice. This movement is more than just another important issue Yaak Kedishi Native Center is concerned about. Farm worker justice is very personal to me, since in my youth, like many Wabanaki Indians, I too was a farm worker. Until fairly recently, most of America's commercial blueberries, cranberries, and raspberries were harvested by American Indian labor in our homelands, traditional territory stolen by America. I remember as a boy working berry crops as well as the hard work of picking apples and potatoes. Most North Americans are not aware that just a generation ago, many of the foods people eat with little thought about how it gets onto their table came from the hard work of American Indian farm workers and other cultural peoples from the Caribbean and Central America. Many of these agricultural industries that American Indians worked in have become more mechanized and automated within the past decade and a half, so the need for Native American labor has greatly diminished. Also, agribusiness is now a major part of globalization, which means many crops once grown in the United States are now raised and harvested in the Third World, where farm worker justice is even more of a tough struggle. Many of our Wolf Mountain Radio listeners know that I am now forced to be in a wheelchair. I know that part of my poor health is directly related to my years as a farm worker when I was contaminated by pesticide, herbicide, and fertilizer sprays. In those days, and probably even in today's agriculture, farm workers were not informed of chemical insecticide use ahead of time by growers. We were not provided with so-called protective equipment, nor allowed to leave the fields even during spring. In my youth and into my teenage years, our Indian people also depended upon family gardens and hunting and fishing for part of our food subsistence. Tragically, our animal, plant, and fish relatives likewise became quite contaminated from many agricultural chemicals impacting the environment. These poisons became more magnified and deadly within the food chain. This, of course, greatly affected us Native people's health. Pesticide, herbicide use also caused the soil in our once healthy organic gardens to become toxic, killing our plant relatives. We traditional people grew plants for food and gathered wild flora for medicines in a ceremonial manner. Agribusiness has greatly devastated our traditional cultural life ways. We Indians, like other poor people and people of color, health and well-being were not a concern to government or industry, even with the publication of Rachel Carson's important book, Silent Spring, which shocked white America, how she exposed the ecocide of agricultural chemicals and the disrespectful attitude of government and industry to nature. Why is it, though, that white America is not so concerned or shocked about what's been happening to farm workers all these years as well? Farm workers had no real rights until the founding of the United Farm Workers, UFW, by very brave brothers and sisters, such as my hero, Cesar Chavez. I am proud to be a longtime supporter of the farm worker movement and the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. I honor them. Farm worker justice was also a civil rights concern of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a strong supporter of farm worker organizing as well. Many other known and unknown people sacrificed much for farm worker rights and the struggles against poverty and discrimination. Tragically, our work is far from over. Farm workers' struggles continues. This is why Yat Gidishi Native Center is sharing this important interview with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. In our program, we will also provide information on ways in which people can support farm worker justice. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers is a fine community-based organization whose purpose is to advance the well-being of farm workers and their families. In a moment, we will hear from our guests, but first I want to provide a brief summary about CIW. The organization is based in Collier County, Florida, but their coalition is active statewide and within the National Farm Workers Movement. The CIW is well respected for their dedicated struggle to improve the poor working conditions of farm workers. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers fight social injustice and the conditions of poverty their members suffer from. Several of the major issues of concern are: 1. Ending the economic exploitation of farm labor. The major issue is a need to provide a fair living wage. The current pay level is not a livable wage. Farm workers' labor is the closest situation to slavery in America and throughout the world. 2. The need for the agribusiness industry to actually respect farm workers and to treat them and their family fairly and with dignity. This also is important for the crew bosses to observe. 3. The need to have a safe and healthy working conditions. Many times, farm workers suffer from not having proper safety measures and equipment for working in the fields. An important example of this is being properly notified of pesticide herbicide spraying schedules. Many times, as I mentioned, farm workers are caught out in the field and get contaminated from pesticide spray. Farm owners need to provide protective clothing, such as proper work boots and gloves, as another example. 4. The need for safe and clean homes. Many farm workers must live in overcrowded, dirty, and dilapidated conditions. These shanty shacks are not even fit for farm animals. 5. The need for affordable health care. The social, economic, and environmental justice issues we are talking about are common to farm workers throughout the world. They are about ending conditions of poverty and servitude most farm workers must currently endure. We are talking about the greed and conduct of multinational companies in the international agribusiness sector. We will be talking more about the huge transnational corporation, Yum Brands, whose arrogance and disrespect towards farm workers is inexcusable. This is why you will hear more about the Taco Bell restaurant boycott, a subsidiary of Yum Foods. Our program will suggest ways in which you, our worldwide listeners, can help support the farm worker movement for justice and more information on this Taco Bell boycott. While much of our interview is focused on the work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and the situation in what's now called Florida, listeners need to understand that these issues of injustice are part of the components of globalization. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers is geographically located in southwest Florida in the Collier County town of Immokalee, Florida. It is not far from my home here in the western Everglades region, Seminole and Miccosukee Indians call Pahayogi. In many ways, Immokalee is like a third world farm town. The community demographics consists of a large percentage of people from Central America and the Caribbean. This is intermixed with a small Seminole Indian reservation in a wealthy upper strata of predominantly white business leaders and white landowners. It should be no surprise to learn that the big, powerful agricultural industry rules this part of rural Southwest Florida. Their economic and political influence is so strong that protecting our fragile environment and caring for the well-being of farm workers is of minimal concern to them, despite the fact that their long-term business success requires both a quality environment with clean water and a ready labor source. I witnessed this firsthand in the late 1980s and early 1990s when the state of Florida established a Department of Community Affairs, the DCA. One of the priorities of DCA and state government was trying to manage the exploding rates of development as a result of being the second fastest growing state in the country. The state legislature passed important growth management laws. Each county was required to develop a growth management plan that would be incorporated into the state's overall comprehensive plan. Then the county commissioners appointed me a member of the county growth management planning advisory committee. I was an experienced environmental planner, project permitting specialist, knowledgeable about the state's growth management policy. During the years I served on the growth management committee, I focused a great deal of time on rural areas, especially Immokalee. I saw that most efforts for ensuring compliance with agricultural, environmental, and land use regulations were deliberately ignored by the ag industries, which also dictate farm worker life. This situation in Southwest Florida is quite common throughout the world. It's one example why fighting for farm worker environmental social justice is such an important struggle. I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I would like to now welcome our special guest to the program, and I'll first ask you, Max, to give a brief background about yourself and how you got involved with the important work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Max Perez. I'm from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Yeah, I grew up in Immokalee. I was born and raised there. And my family, my father and my grandmother who raised me, and all of my uncles and aunts, they were all farm workers. They were probably one of the first farm workers out here in Immokalee, Florida. I just grew up around farm work my whole life, and I actually quit school when I was about 15 years old to pick tomatoes, cucumbers, and, different types of vegetables. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I started realizing that, whose family was farm workers for all of their lives, and I've been a farm worker. If somebody like me doesn't get up and try and make a change in the situation that the agricultural industry is in, then, I mean, how can I expect anything to change, So, there's an organization there, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which was formed by farm workers back in probably about 10 years ago. It was formed by people from Guatemala, Mexico, Haiti, who came here in search of a better life and just found that in order to have that better life, they were going to have to make some major changes. Back then, people in the fields, you were liable to get beaten out there for simple things like asking for your check at the end of the week, or even trying to drink water or something,
Take a rest break.
Right. I mean, one case that happened, one of the reasons why people started organizing, a guy had come out of work, and we had an office already, but he came into our office and his shirt was just completely bloody, his face was beaten up. When we asked him what happened, he told us that he had gotten beaten by a contractor because he wanted to get some water. It's hot out there, and you're trying to, run back and forth as fast as possible so you can make, enough money to eat. When he got up to get water, the contractor said, "You know what, you're here to work, you're not here to drink water, get back to work." And when he got up to get water anyways, the contractor beat him. When he came into the office and told us this, we started organizing immediately, the community, trying to get people to come out and, you know, see what's going on and stuff, which, you know, everybody knew what was going on, but just nobody was acting on it. So by the next day, we had organized 500 people, and we all marched to the contractor's house that did it and basically told the contractor to hit one of us is to hit all of us. You know, from now on, we're not going to put up with that anymore. And from that day on, there were no more beatings happening in the fields, at least in Immokalee. There's so many things that we need to change. I mean, even over 10 years of struggle, from like the wages that people make in the fields, right now it's about 40, 45 cents per bucket. Some places 40, some places 45 cents. But it's been that way for over 20 years, since like 1978. Over the years, since the coalition has started, we've been doing general strikes, you know, in our community. It strikes against the growers there. And when I say growers, I'm not saying like, you know, little small family farmers who have like, you know, 10 acres or 20 acres or even 80 acres, you know. We're talking about huge corporate growers that have land from Florida to New York to California to Mexico, you know. These are all the same companies. And when we travel up north, when the picking season is done here in Florida and we travel up north, we're working for the same companies up there. We've done maybe three strikes over the past 10 years, you know, basically trying to get the grower to come to the table with farm workers and talk about making a change, you know, because out there in the fields, we never see the growers at all. You know, if you go to Immokalee right now and you stop somebody in the street who's picking in the fields, and you ask them, hey, do you know who the farmer is, or, you know, where can I find the farmer? The person is probably going to tell you, nope, I've never seen him before. And they could have been working there for years and years. I mean, basically, the only time that we see these, like, one time I was out there working, I was young, and there was this plane that just kept flying. No, I'm sorry, was it a plane? It was a helicopter. They kept flying by over the fields, and I asked the contractor, who, you know, what's the deal with that? I thought it was like cop or something.
Yes.
And they were like, no, this is the farmers. They're checking out their fields. That's so. When we see the farmers, is when they're flying by in their helicopters. You know. Basically, they do that for a reason. I mean, the reason is because if they were in a situation where they had to dialogue with us, then that's more of a chance of change.
Yes.
And so the farther they are away from dialogue, the farther they are away from changes, which is what they don't want, because right now what they have is a completely great system for them. You know, they have a bunch of people here who are desperate for work, and so they can just basically rip them off and you know, sell their tomatoes at a cheaper price to multinational corporations like Taco Bell and Burger King and all of them, at a cheaper price, you know what I'm saying? So they like this situation, and that's why they don't talk to us. When we did those strikes, we achieved the changes that we wanted to change, you know, which is dialogue, which is higher wages, right, and safer working conditions, for sure. But what we did gain was attention to our community, you know, because before there was no one looking at what was happening to farm workers. But now if you ask someone, you know, across the country, a lot more people out there know what's happening. A lot more people know that there's slavery conditions out here in the fields, you know, where people are forced to work at gunpoint, and if they try to leave, they're threatened with violence, they're threatened with death. It's happening all over the place, but we need to uncover it. We need to think about these things.
talking with two brothers from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, a very fine grassroots community organization advocating for the rights and well-being of farm workers and their family. And one of the last comments we were talking about was actual slavery conditions. And I want to inform our audience that there was a report from the Center for the Advancement of Human Rights, specifically Chapter 2, was entitled Trafficking for Forced Agricultural Labor. This is a worldwide audience, and I really want people to understand that in what's now called America, land of the free, supposedly, there is conditions of forced labor in agriculture here in South Florida, within 7 miles of my home studio here, and it's a condition that people unfortunately don't think about when they sit down to eat dinner and lunch every day. Also in the studio today is a gentleman that is with the Coalition for Immokalee Workers, and again I'm going to pass the microphone over and ask him to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about his personal background and why and how he's involved here.
Hi, my name is Sean Sellers, and I actually work with Student Farmworker Alliance, which is a very close partner organization with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Basically, the work we do with Student Farmworker Alliance is figuring out how young people and students can be effective allies with farmworkers and with poor people in general in the movement for economic justice in this country and globally. A bit of personal history, how I got involved. It's interesting to hear Max's story. Max got involved in a very personal way. He grew up in a farm working community. My involvement comes from the opposite end of the perspective. I grew up in a comfortable suburb in Texas. I got involved with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers through the Taco Bell boycott, essentially. I had gotten politicized in high school, and when I went to college, it was around the time of the big protest up in Seattle against the World Trade Organization. There was a burgeoning protest movement targeting institutions like the WTO, like the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, these institutions of global capitalism that affect people's lives in various negative ways. So I was cognizant of these sorts of overarching institutions, but it was really disconnected from any experience on the ground. I mean, I've definitely led a life of privilege. So I heard about the Taco Bell boycott. It sounded really interesting. Some folks on my campus had been organizing around it, and I learned more about it. I learned more about the struggles that farmworkers face. And we began to see the Taco Bell boycott as a bridge between poor people, between people of color living the reality of corporate globalization, and between activists such as ourselves who are in universities, those types of settings, who also wanted to struggle against this same system. So that's personally how I got involved with the Coalition and their work, working on our campus to try and boot Taco Bell restaurant off of our student union. This is one of the major campaigns of the Student Farmworker Alliance, and to date we've had 20 successes in getting Taco Bell kicked off of high school and college campuses. And these are actions that are done in solidarity with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers to put pressure on Taco Bell and Yum! Brands to come to the table to make the changes that need to be made.
Sean, I very much appreciate your comments and the important work of the Student Farmworker Alliance. I know there are many fine college groups across the country active in the important boycott of Taco Bell and its parent company, Yum! Brands. I am currently involved in helping to establish a university environmental social justice group on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University, where I serve as a curriculum advisor and lecturer on environmental justice. I look forward to both of your participation with our FGCU campus campaign to support farm worker justice. I want to ask you, Max, to comment in a moment more about farm worker issues and the Taco Bell boycott. I think it is important to inform our worldwide listeners that there is growing support for farm worker justice by a number of diverse community, labor, religious, human rights, environmental, and global justice organizations throughout the country. There have also been a number of very distinguished persons who have spoken out against agribusiness practices and farm worker treatment. Several examples of eminent persons and organizations who support the farm worker movement and the work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers include former United States President Jimmy Carter, Dolores Huerta, co-founder of the United Farm Workers, the National Council of Churches, the American Friends Service Committee, and the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Center for Human Rights, to name a few. I was present at the Coalition of Mockley Workers during the visit of the Honorable Mary Robinson, formerly United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, whom I know personally from my attendance at a number of United Nations forums focused on the rights of the world's indigenous peoples, where she participated. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers has also been recognized by receiving a number of distinguished awards. It is important to mention these things because there are, unfortunately, people out there in the public who view the farm worker justice movement with contempt and disrespect. Unfortunately, racism and discrimination has not ended for farm workers and many poor people. Let me just read the statement by former United States President Jimmy Carter on the subject of farm worker justice. This is from the Carter Center, statement by former U.S. President Jimmy Carter on talks in the tomato industry. It is dated May 26, 2004, Atlanta, Georgia. I have followed with concern for a number of years the appalling working conditions in the Florida-based tomato industry. While production costs in the industry have increased over the last 25 years, wages have been effectively stagnant as giant cooperative buying mechanisms hold prices down. Conditions are so bad in parts of the industry that there have been two separate prosecutions for slavery in recent years. In recent years, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, has been publicly campaigning to bring attention to these abuses of human rights and for industry-wide change. In particular, CIW has led a campaign to ask Taco Bell, a subsidiary of Yum Brands Incorporated, the world's largest restaurant company, to accept responsibility for ensuring that its profits are not derived from the abuses of workers in its supply chain. Recently, Yum and CIW have been in private talks convened by the Presbyterian Church of the United States to try to identify tangible ways to resolve the problems in the tomato industry. Regrettably, the latest round, which included talks held at the Carter Center, was not successful. On May 20, Taco Bell issued a statement that Yum CEO David Novak has called, quote, a proposed solution, unquote. Mr. Novak's proposal involves, first, the CIW calling off its boycott, and second, a statement that Taco Bell would be willing to work toward an industry-wide solution to pay and conditions. While Yum's belated acknowledgement of the need for improved pay and conditions is welcome, this cannot be considered a serious proposal. Yum is saying that only if the CIW ends its boycott will it be willing to support efforts to improve wages, and only if the rest of the industry does. This is a lost opportunity for the head of the world's largest restaurant company to take the lead in eliminating human rights abuses that he knows exist within his supply chain. And that was a statement by former United States President Jimmy Carter on talks in the tomato industry, specifically about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers' efforts to have a dialogue with Yum Brands, the parent multinational company of the subsidiary Taco Bell restaurants. I'm going to ask my brother here to get into more details, if you please, about the actual Coalition for Immokalee Worker campaign against Taco Bell.
Out of the years of struggle against, you know, with strikes against the growers here in Florida, basically led us to try and look at our struggle in a different way. You know, we saw that every time that we did an action, the growers just stepped out of the light, didn't show their faces, didn't make any comments, and basically didn't do anything until everything just kind of died down. You know, we had to try and think of different ways to try and make the changes that we need in Immokalee. At one of our meetings, and it happened really, like, I don't know, just simple. We have formaciones, what we call formaciones. They're meetings where we have every month to analyze our situation, analyze what we've done so that we can try and make it better, do things differently. We were sitting around throwing ideas around about what our next steps should be, and somebody said, well, why don't we go to the company to buy the tomatoes? We all started laughing at first. Then we started thinking about it, and we were like, wait a minute. we might be onto something here. So we started doing the research, and we figured out that Taco Bell was one of the biggest buyers of the tomatoes that we pick. And that also that they were a part of, well, back then they were a part of a company called Tricon Global, which had Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Pizza Hut. Now they're called Yum Brands. And Yum Brands, they've gotten bigger. Back then, when there were only three, they were the biggest restaurant chain system in the world. But now they're even bigger. Now they have five. Now they're Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Long John Silver's, and A&W. Once we figured out that they were one of the biggest buyers of the tomatoes that we picked, we started trying to figure out how we should go about getting with them, getting them to come to the table to talk and figure out a solution to our problems. So we sent them a letter. Their first response was no response at all. After we sent a couple of letters, they just didn't respond at all. So that's when we decided to start the boycott. And it happened in 2001. Basically, what we're saying to Taco Bell is because they have a responsibility to the farm workers in a couple of ways. One way that they have a responsibility is that they are a huge buyer. Because they're a huge buyer, they have a lot of power in the way that the agricultural system works. Like, let's say that Taco Bell goes to one of the corporate growers that I talked about earlier and says, you know what, we're not going to buy tomatoes from you anymore until you make these changes. Well, those growers aren't going to tell Taco Bell, well, we don't need you, your business, go away, you know, we don't care about what you're saying. In fact, they're going to do whatever it takes to keep Taco Bell's business. So because of that, Taco Bell has, they have a power. They can say to the growers, look, well, we want to pay a little bit more money per pound of tomatoes that we buy, and we want that money to go directly to the worker instead to you. It's not something that's out of the question. They make billions and billions of dollars. I mean, every year they spend $220 million on advertisement alone, you know? And so we're not asking for much. What we started asking for from the beginning was one more penny per pound of tomatoes that they bought. Have that penny passed on to the worker, and it could, just with that penny, it could almost double the wages. Taco Bell, I mean, well, that's one way that they are responsible. Another reason why, which is a straight-up solution, or another reason why they're responsible, basically, is because they have that much power. You can't have that much power without having any responsibility. It's kind of like when I got started in the movement, you know? I mean, when I realized that I have power in terms of I'm able to speak about farm worker conditions, I'm able to speak the truth about it. Because I have that knowledge, I need to use it. If I don't use it, then, you know, I'm basically doing the same thing that Taco Bell is doing. You know, it's irresponsible of me. And so Taco Bell has that same type of responsibility. They see the slavery conditions. They see the bad health conditions. They see just low wages and poor housing and stuff, because we showed it to them. But they choose to turn the other cheek. And they know that they can change it, but they don't want to. And that's, I think, why they're more responsible than anything else. And so over the years, the boycott has been, since it started in 2001, it's been like 3 years now since the boycott has started, and we've made a lot of progress. We've done a few marches out to Taco Bell headquarters in California, Irvine, California, where thousands of people participated, and hopefully we'll be doing more. I feel like we're getting closer and closer.
You are listening to Yat Kedichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
la da 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 la da 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 la da 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 la da da la da 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 la da da la da da. Well, as long as the rivers would flow, our treaties were to stand. And as long as the trees would grow, our treaties were to stand. La da 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 la da 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 la da da la da da la da da la da 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 la da 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 la da da la da da la da da. Well, as long as we had air to breathe, our treaties were to stand. And as long as the crest grew beneath the trees, our treaties were to stand. La da 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 la da 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 la da da la da da la da da la da 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 la da 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 la da da la da da la da da. Now if our treaties they don't stand, neither should the laws of the white man. I don't care how you look at it, you're standing on stolen land. La da 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 la da 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 la 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 da da. La da 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 da
the Cree Nation drum Blackstone. The round dance song featured the Logan Alex Singers from their Canyon Records CD. The title of the song was Young Runner. In traditional Native American society, runners are those special young people chosen by elders to work for the well-being of the tribe. Often runners would carry diplomatic messages, for example, or assist a spiritual elder in ceremony. Being a runner is very honorable and has responsibility, much like the work my two young friends here in the studio today, Max and Sean, are doing in behalf of farm worker justice. The song we played prior to Blackstone was from Anishinaabe singer-songwriter Richard Sear, entitled Treaties, from his 1995 cassette. The governments, now called Washington and Ottawa, have violated nearly every treaty we North American Indian nations made with the white man. It is time to honor the treaties and respect our rights for sovereignty and self-determination. As long as the grass grows and the waters flow, this is Indian land, stolen by the white man. I always enjoyed listening to Richard play live at powwows here in the Southeast. Richard performs at numerous Native American benefits. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. In the remaining time, I want to reiterate the importance of supporting farm worker justice wherever you live. I call on all of our worldwide listeners to actively support the Taco Bell boycott. Do not eat at a Taco Bell restaurant. Write to Yum Brands Food CEO David Novak and demand that Yum Brands guarantee fair wages and fair working conditions for farm workers in its supply chain. The address to write is David Novak, Chief Executive Officer, Yum Brands, 1441 Gardner Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40213 USA. Once again, I urge all of our worldwide listeners to write to Yum Brands Food, that's Y-U-M, Food, that's the Chief Executive Officer, CEO, Mr. David Novak, and demand that Yum Brands guarantee fair wages and fair working conditions for farm workers. The address to write to is David Novak, CEO, Yum Brands, 1441 Gardiner, G-A-R-D-I-N-E-R Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40213 USA. In 2003, the multinational Yum Company reported a total of $16.4 billion in profits. The average annual income of a farm worker who picks tomatoes that Yum Brands use in their products is $7,500, well below the U.S. official poverty level. Florida farm workers have labored under the same poor conditions since the 1970s. Tomato pickers still have to pick 2 tons of tomatoes to earn $50 in one day. Would you work in the sweltering heat for more than 12 hours per day and know that you will make sub-poverty wages? So please, support the Taco Bell boycott. Taco Bell is a major buyer of Florida tomatoes, and as such, profits from farm worker poverty and substandard working conditions I call servitude. Yum Brand has the power to demand its suppliers abide by an enforceable code of conduct. Yum Brands can pay its suppliers one more penny per pound of tomatoes and demand this be passed on to farm workers in the form of increased wages. Again, I ask our listeners, would you work 10 to 12 hour days in incredibly hot and hard field conditions? Would you work under an abusive farm contractor, crew boss, with no benefits, no overtime pay, no sick leave, no affordable health care for you or your family, no kind of pension or retirement plan, and face serious retaliation for trying to stand up for your basic human and labor rights? This is the situation we are talking about. Modern-day farm workers in America still earn only 40 to 45 cents for every 32-pound bucket of hand-picked tomatoes, while the already incredibly wealthy landowners and agribusiness executives continue to dictate below-poverty-level farm worker wages. In extreme cases, workers are held in modern-day slavery and forced to work through violence. Coalition of Immokalee Workers' Anti-Slavery Campaign has documented this. As I mentioned in today's program introduction, many Native Americans, including myself, just a generation ago, worked as farm workers under very similar conditions. I've not forgotten what it is like living in a shack, working all day in the sun, laboring in a corporate farm field for basically pennies an hour. I remember the racism towards us Indians who harvested the white landowners' crops. I'm sure there are many Native Americans who also suffer health problems as I do from being contaminated by pesticide, insecticide, herbicide, and fertilizer applications while working as farm workers. This was often done without any notice or advance warning by either the farm owners or field contractors who under law are required to notify us. Even with so-called U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulations, Occupational Safety Health Act standards, or U.S. Department of Agriculture chemical applicator licensing requirements, I'm sure even in this day and age, many poor farm workers often still get contaminated and sick from agricultural chemicals. I'm sure if a farm worker makes a complaint, he or she not only risks losing their job, but possible violent retaliation by a crew boss. They may also risk trouble with U.S. law enforcement, such as INS, Immigration Naturalization Service Police, for example. In Collier County, Florida, where I live, close to Immokalee in the farmlands, there are special county deputy sheriffs whose assignment is policing rural agriculture. It is my understanding that they have been authorized as INS law enforcement agents. One does not have to think much about what side of the fence they are on, landowner or farm worker. In some areas of North America, there are still some American Indians picking crops, along with Caribbean and Hispanic farm workers. In other countries of the world, farm work is still done by many indigenous peoples, who, like our brothers and sisters here, work for minimal pay in incredibly poor conditions. Farm worker justice is a worldwide concern. It is part of globalization. I again wish to thank my friend Max Perez from the Coalition on Immokalee Workers, CIW, and Sean Sellers, other Student Farm Worker Alliance who is working with CIW, for sharing their thoughts today on honoring Mother Earth's indigenous voices. Next week, we continue our conversation with these two fine guests in Program 2 of our Farm Worker Justice series. For more information on farm worker issues or how you can support the Taco Bell boycott and how you can assist Coalition on Immokalee Workers, please check out their website, www.ciw-online.org. Again, you can assist Coalition on Immokalee Workers, learn more about farm worker issues and support the Taco Bell boycott and their anti-slavery campaign by visiting their website, www.ciw-online.org. You can also telephone Coalition of Immokalee Workers at area code 239-657-8311. Again, you can telephone CIW at U.S. area code 239-657-8311. Their United States mailing address for information is Coalition of Immokalee Workers, P.O. Box 603, Immokalee, Florida, 34143, USA. Again, U.S. mailing address for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is CIW, P.O. Box 603, Immokalee, that's capital I-M-M-O-K-A-L-E-E, Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A, zip code 34143, USA, or you can also contact us here at Yat Kiddushi Native Center. And our worldwide listeners know our email is yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. I thank you, all our worldwide listeners, for listening to Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio, and for tuning in to our Wolf Mountain Radio program. We conclude today's broadcast with Anishinaabe singer-songwriter Annie Humphrey's song, Edge of America, speaking about poverty in America. Well, dear friends, until our next program, I wish you well. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin, to all of our relations.
of America, whose blood will flow like water to nourish prophet's crop. Somewhere near the edge of America, who's gonna feed on sugar and junk? I'm hungry enough to eat anything. Sister is a battered woman, battered by a battered man. Somewhere near the edge of America, who's got less today than yesterday, don't even want to think about tomorrow. Lives, we don't all have to fall.